Ephesians chapter 6. Like I said, it's our school of prayer. There's something I just want to bring out from there. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start from verse 10. I won't read everything so as to save time. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Now, I want to read that again because this is the main reason why I'm reading this. It said, "We should put on the full armor of God," and there's a purpose for it. That purpose is so that we will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood," he says, "but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Therefore, he says, "Take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm." Stand firm, therefore. Now, please, I want you to notice something. Please follow this. In verse 11, it says, "We are putting on the full armor so we'll be able to stand firm." It now says in verse 13, "We put on that full armor to resist, and having done everything, to stand firm." In verse 14, it now says, "Stand firm, therefore." All right? That's the third time he's using the expression "stand firm." And if you add the one in which he says resist, you see that's like the fourth time. He says, "Stand firm, therefore, by having girded your loins with truth, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench or extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and you take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." He said in verse 18, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." And he now says, verse 19, "Pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, let me just stop reading here. What I just want to share with us briefly this evening, and then we'll use it to pray, is this issue of standing firm. I want us to understand that the issue is that of standing firm. He said the main reason why we are taking up this whole armor is so we can stand firm in everything. Please, I want to just repeat it again. One major assignment God has for us believers is to stand firm. And what do I mean by stand firm? You see where I'm going in a moment. Listen, Satan came to the garden and talked to Eve. And what was his strategy? To make her shift position on her opinion concerning the tree. That's all. Look, you know, hey, I pray we get it. All he wanted was for her to shift her opinion, just concerning her opinion, to shift ground slightly. Just shift your ground. They said, if you eat it, you will die. Then he says to her, you will not surely die. Then they began to discuss. The reason why that discussion could hold was because she yielded a bit of ground. She gave the possibility that maybe, all right, there is this small chance that I might not die. That was why he got her. And in this life, let me tell you, that is what everything is about. Until the world, until the devil, until Satan can change your opinion about something, there's little he can do to make you disobey God. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. It's just to change that your opinion, just to make you look at it slightly differently. You know, the other day I was talking with some relatives, okay, who live abroad. And we're just talking about many things. You know, this because of this, what's the name of this guy, the presidential candidate, Donald Trump. And then Barack Obama's situation and all of that. We're talking about all of that because of this election that's coming up. So Obama being the current president. So we had issues discussing about him. Then I told my wife something. I said, "Do you notice something that these people are saying, these guys who live abroad now, Nigerians, on some of these things that the Bible calls abominations, you start hearing things like, you don't know what the person has gone through." Can you see it? You said, the Bible says this is wrong. He said, you don't know what the person has been through. You cannot judge. And that is exactly what they want you to do. Just shift ground. Just move a bit. Just give some allowance for explanation. That's all. Like I told you, they say economic recession. I have personally, in my personal life, refused to believe it for 1 second. I just refuse. That's my personal life. I say economic recession, listen, forget it. There's nothing like that. I'm still blessed. Yes. And listen, nobody will tell you to shift ground without giving you evidence. They know you're a rational person. The devil knows you have a brain that works. So what he does is to try and persuade you bit by bit. He will show it to you. And they'll not tell you that you are not being realistic if you say you are walking by faith. Let me tell you the truth. The people who tell you are not being realistic are the ones that are not being realistic. Because their own reality is inferior to your reality. I don't know whether I got my point. The other day I was watching news. And this guy, what's his name? I think it's Leonardo DiCaprio. Is that his name? No, but is it the one? Yeah, it's the one. Is that not his name? People are confusing me now. You know who I'm talking about. I saw him on TV, and they were talking about climate change. And he made a statement, and I laughed. I said, my friend, get away. He said, some people still don't want to believe that climate change is occurring as a result of man's activities. He called it man-made climate change. According to him, this is something that 97% of scientists have agreed upon. I felt like saying, oh, go away. They are not up to 97%. The real scientific world is almost fairly evenly divided on what is causing climate change. Nobody disagrees that there's climate change. I want you to understand something. Everybody agrees. We know that the globe is warmer now than it was maybe 20 years ago. But why has not been agreed upon? You know, but most scientists say so. Let me tell you something. I'm in the scientific world. There's what they call publication. If you have an opinion or research result, for you to be able to publish it, the editor, there are three stages thereabout in every scientific publication. When you submit your article, first, the editor looks at it. If he personally on the spot decides that it doesn't make any sense, that's the end of it. If he now decides it makes sense, he will now send it to other scientists who will now look at it, other editors who will look at it or send it to other assessors. I mean, it's one of the things we have to do in the academic system. You get it all the time. Please review this article for us. But what you don't know is that the editor first had to agree that it should be reviewed. So once they decide that this opinion is not needed, that is it. So you will find that publications can give you 97% publications, everybody saying the same thing. But it's because the editor said this is what we want them to say. And anybody that says contrary, he doesn't make it into publication. There is a man, his name was Dr. Rouse. He said that viruses cause cancers, and he demonstrated it in birds. But then the idea of the scientific world was that cancers have no known cause and infections don't cause cancers. This poor man tried to publish his article and nobody agreed to publish it. And finally, he managed to publish it in one of these low journals that nobody is reading. 70 years later, no, I don't know whether 70 years, but nothing less than 50 years later, he got a Nobel Prize for that publication. And Nobel has one law. Once you have died, they don't give you a Nobel Prize. No matter how great your work is, Nobel Prize is awarded only to living people. So if you do an earth-shaking work 10 years ago, then you die last year. That's it. They won't consider it for Nobel Prize anymore. Now, what am I telling you about that? They said, this is, you can Google it up. The only, is, if you want to remember, the name is R-O-U-S. Just go there. RSV, Rouse sarcoma virus, and type it cancer, it will pop up. And they said the only reason why that man got his Nobel Prize was he lived to be 90 something. He was awarded that Nobel Prize in his 90s. If he had been an average man, then at 75, 80, he would never have gotten a Nobel Prize. Now, why am I telling the story? This man got a Nobel Prize for what the whole scientific world in his time said it was nonsense. This is the interesting part. He was not the only one that said it. It is just that anybody that said it, they shut him down. They are talking nonsense. But because he managed to, he pushed and managed to get his own published in a low journal, But it was in publication. Years later, we now found out there are things like cancer of the cervix. It's 99% caused by infection that spread. Why am I saying so? You don't change your mind just because something is popular. If you know the truth, hold on to it. Because eventually they will all change their minds and follow you. I'm so happy many of you heard me say it, those who have known him for long, that this thing they are saying, don't eat egg, don't eat cholesterol containing the food, that is a lie. Oh. I'm almost certain I'm the only person you heard say it. 30 years after it's been proven, it's been sold to everybody, they now withdrew it and say, sorry, for the last 30 years we made all of you guinea pigs. Our experiment is over. It was a waste of time. They are there laughing. They decided a new one now. Say, if you eat sugar, you will die. Let me tell you ahead, it's a lie. Men, listen. Men use politics to make decisions. A colleague of mine was teaching the other day. He's a specialist gastroenterologic pathologist in UK. And he said, listen, he was teaching us something. We're at a seminar, we're discussing. So I got up, I said, look, this thing you are saying, it doesn't make sense this way. Why don't they name it like this? He said, actually, we can't use that name even though we know it's correct. Because when you diagnose it for patients, their insurance premium will go up. For that reason, pathologist diagnosis is modified so that people won't pay more for health insurance. Better get used to it. That's how life be. Men are dishonest. Many of the drugs doctors prescribe, they've been shown not to be needed by the patients. What do they prescribe? The pharmaceutical company has to make money. And they are pushing, listen, if you know how much they spend money, because if they don't prescribe it, if the doctors don't prescribe it, they can't sell it. So they spend money on the doctors. Laws have been written here and there to curb that practice. But it's hard, because the heart of man is wicked. They will sponsor you to conferences those days. You and your wife, lodging the best hotels. Finally, it's a crime in Europe now. If you sponsor a doctor for a conference and his wife comes along and you pay, it's a crime. I gave you an example here some time ago. That a Belgian and a European physician, a professor of medicine, in fact, a professor of cardiology, he came to UNTH a few years ago to give a lecture. And I found about it, so I went to attend the lecture. When the man was done, I shook my head. I said, this is what we have been saying. The man you see his slides. This is a man who has over 100 publications in top-level journals. He's a professor of professors. He said, listen, don't mind the drug companies when they tell you this and this and this. He says, it's all a lie. And he began to show it to us. He's a professor of medicine. He showed us some things, and it was proven that certain antihypertensives that have been sold to patients are needless. He was dealing with cost. He was explaining the principle. He had a baseline drug, one of the cheapest for treating low-level hypertension. He will show you research upon research that shows that some of their newest drugs are not better. Now, the problem is this. Let me quickly say this. Maybe it's going for 50 kobo a tablet. The new one, the state-of-the-art one, can be 300 naira a tablet. Can you see the difference? If they agree that they do the same thing, who will pay? So they have the way, they have statistical ways of wangling the truth into your heart that this one is superior. And once the doctor agrees, the doctor starts prescribing it, then the pharmaceutical company starts making money. So the man was warning us, came all the way from Belgium that time to give a lecture in Enugu here and a few other places, that don't listen to them. He was giving us the tricks that they use and how to circumvent those tricks. And he showed to us that statistics can be used to see anything. So when you get up in the morning and tell me that they have statistically shown to you that people are born homosexuals, you are telling me God doesn't have sense. They don't tell you the whole truth. The statistical, the world likes to just turn things around. Remember this man, what is his name? Tiger Woods. That time his wife left him, that Swedish wife.
And they had a lot of crisis. You know what they said was wrong with him? He was not an adulterer. He was not sexually promiscuous. He had a problem with sexual addiction. That's what they said. That this, I didn't sin. It's a mental problem that I have. You're not getting my point. This is a man who was sleeping with anything he found. He was married to one decent woman. A pornographic star was his girlfriend. Girls here and there. And they say, "Oga Tiger, why are you doing like this?" He says, "It's a mental condition." He called it sexual addiction. So he went to rehab. Instead of him to go to the Reverend Father and kneel down there, say, "Forgive me, Father, I have sinned." This man went to rehab. That was the day you should have just managed Catholicism. Because you will see the Reverend Father. Those of us Pentecostals will be praying to God, we can't see him. But the Catholics have solved that problem for people like Tiger Woods. You will sit down. And the first statement when you go for confession is what? Bless me or forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. That statement is the will of God. But Tiger Woods went for medical rehab that have sexual addiction. The matter is genetic. Unkwe is genetic. He goat is genetic. Why am I teaching this? They now present it to Christians. After a long time, Christians start agreeing bit by bit. They start shifting their ground. That's my gist. That's what I'm talking about, all these things. They start shifting their ground. Meanwhile, the Bible says what you need is to stand firm. If God has said something, stand firm. I want you to know that the whole of life will try to explain to you that God does not know what he's saying. He says, stand firm. Stand firm. If he says you are an overcomer, don't let anybody lie to you that somebody in the village is worrying you. Stand firm. If he says you are the head and not the tail, no matter what you dream of, stand firm. Five people come to you and say, "I dreamt that you died." He said, "I knew long ago before I started dreaming that one day every man will die." Why? The word of God says it is appointed for man once to die once. After that is what? Judgment. So, any other thing? Did your dream give me the date? Most of the time, the dream didn't give date to. Say, "I dreamt that you died." Say, "Don't worry, I knew I would die one day. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, judgment. If Jesus does not come, I know I will die. Thank you very much." It's not a prayer point. People will start coming with things like, you will give a sacrifice for your life. So what did Jesus die for? Jesus just woke up in the morning, died for nothing. And now I'll be giving you sacrifice for my life. Listen, that's why I said something to us last time when we were finishing that Ephesians study. This is Ephesians chapter 6 here. He said in verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation, and then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." What I want is that helmet of salvation. What does that mean? Look, helmet covers where? Your head. Your head is like the seat of the mind. Let's just take it the way we understand it. Brain is there. Now, this is the interpretation I want to use. It means interpret everything in life with the knowledge of what God has done for you in Christ. Are you getting my point here? I have a helmet, salvation, that this salvation protects my mind. I know I'm saved. If somebody comes to me one day and says, "He dreamt, people went to hellfire," I say, "I like how you expressed somebody one day." You remember? A man who came to you once said he had a vision. Yeah. When you were a pastor and redeemed, he said he had a vision. Told this pastor, came to him and said, "Pastor, I had a vision." What the vision? That only two people in redeem are going to heaven. The whole of Redeemed Christian Church of God International. He said, "Only two people." Maybe he saw his vision. I like the way you answered him. He said, "In that case," he said, "well, I know I'm one. Who's the second person?" Now, so this pastor take answer the guy. He said, "Thank you, sir. I know I'm one. So who's the second person? Better call the GO to check whether he's the second person. Because me, I know I'm one." It's called the helmet of salvation. Don't come and harass my soul. You dreamt. I'm not saying it's impossible. After all, in Israel, only two people entered into the promised land. Don't be so. Yes.
But the reaction is what I liked. So thank you very much. Oh, bless God for your life. May your anointing increase. So who is the one person that's going to heaven? Because me, I know I've taken one seat. And it, you that's dreaming, I hope you're not a member of Redeemed. Because if you're a member, you will join all the other people to compete for one seat according to your dream. Let us go back into vision and expand the number of people going. Now, so I'm talking about the helmet of salvation. That's the point. What is the helmet of salvation? It means that when I want to interpret life, I never forget to interpret it in light of what God has done for me in Christ Jesus. Like we say all the time, can Christians have problems? Yes, they can have problems. We know there are three reasons from the scriptures that we have found out why Christians may have problems. We say one is called ignorance. They don't know what God has done for them. They will be arguing whether God wants a Christian to prosper or not. When you are still arguing, you are rejecting the prosperity of God. There are people who argue whether healing, divine health, is part of the sacrifice of Jesus. People argue it. In fact, Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that if you are sick, it's the will of God. And that it's only in the second coming of Christ that you will get well. So they don't pray for healing. It's against the doctrines in Jehovah's Witness group. I have a book titled Kicked Out of the Kingdom. Because a man and his wife, they prayed to God. And he healed their newborn baby. So they went to church and testified that God answered our prayers. And they got kicked out of the kingdom. They wrote a book on it. My own is that even if we are not sure, it's either there or it's not there. Don't you, which one is better to believe? Well, even though he's written the scriptures, once somebody, there's this chat group I belong to, one of my colleagues put me in. We talk religious things and all of that. So one day somebody posted an argument, an essay, written by a woman who was a reporter who went around reporting on healing ministers and trying to prove that they were false. Then one day she woke up in the morning and she had cancer of the gallbladder. Last night she was fine. She woke up in the morning, began to have some pain. By the time she had that pain checked, she had cancer of the gallbladder. And she wrote that, I know they will say it is God punishing me for the report I've been writing against a healing evangelist. And I felt like, say, oh, I'm happy you know it yourself. But that's not even the gist. The gist was that she now began to explain that she knows about the will of God, that it's God's will and all of that. That's why somebody posted to the chat group. So I replied. I said, please, excuse me. I'm a bit confused. What is this author trying to say? So the main man who posted it sent it back to the other fellow who posted it to him. That one is not a member of our group. And that one trying to explain the fact that when God does something, we Christians like to fight and all of that. We don't submit to the will of God. Because I knew most of my audience, all right, most of the other members of the group were Catholics, I answered it from the fundamentals of faith. I said, what is the will of God? I said, did Jesus not tell us to pray, thy will be done? I said, if the Lord Jesus says every Catholic believes in that prayer. We say it every Mass. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I said, if the Lord Jesus said his will should be done, it means that it is not automatically done. I said, if it was a prayer point that he gave to us, it means the will is not automatically done. I said, how did this woman say that what is happening to her is the will of God? I've read through the article again and again. I've not seen one place where she went to pray and God said no. I said, at least the least you can do is try. I quoted scriptures. I said, everybody that was sick in the Bible, when Jesus got there, what did he say to them? He said, we could not cast it out because of unbelief. He told a man, he said, listen, don't be struck with panic. Only keep on believing. That's Jairus. I quoted a number of that. I said, how do we know God's will until we have asked him? I wasn't coming from this word of faith angle of the Bible says, I know many of my people may not be on that. I said, my friend, who's the head of the group, said, wow, Banky, thank you. That's another viewpoint. Yes, it is another viewpoint. How can you wake up in the morning and you are arguing against the fact that God loves and is powerful enough to heal in 2016? Believe me, if I were you, I won't go out again.
Because if God doesn't like people to be well, I may just cross the road and one motor will show. I'm gone. It's risky. No, I won't let my children go to school. Why? Because God doesn't care what happens. I'm afraid. But because I don't have that mindset, that is why I have some confidence to move about. That's our confidence to declare some things. I'm bringing out something here. One major reason Christians have problems is ignorance. And they'll be arguing against themselves. Even if you wanted to increase, are you getting my point? You will choose the one that benefits you. You get what I mean by Chris? If you just want to wake up in the morning and be thinking like you don't have it together, at least think like the one that benefits you. Not like you wake up in the morning and say, the only one I want is to prove that God does not heal people. I'm going to show you from scripture that God is going to let us die anytime we just fall sick. No. Ignorance punishes people. I'm not teaching about that now. Second reason we say Christians have a problem is what? When they walk in sin. Whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, or a pagan, the wages of sin is still death. Let nobody tell you that because you're a believer, God doesn't judge iniquity in your life. No, he doesn't judge it for the simple reason that he expects you to judge it yourself. That's why he doesn't. He expects you to judge it yourself. You will by yourself come to him and say, forgive me, Heavenly Father, for I have sinned. This thing I am doing is iniquity. Then what he does is to forgive you of the iniquity and give you the power not to do it again. But if you sit down inside it, you can be sure your sin will soon find you out. That is the second reason. The third reason is what is called the trial of faith. Beloved, James said in chapter 1, count it all joy, verse 3, when we fall into diverse trials. Because the trial of our faith works patience. It happens. Trial of our faith does what? Works patience. These are the reasons why Christians have problems. Notice, I've not said when the devil is angry with them. I have not added the fact that when the arrows from the village are plenty. Why? It's called the helmet of salvation. Because of salvation, I know, fire all the arrows you want, whether from the village, or we know now most of the Babalawos are not in the village anymore. They are now in the cities. The new title they use is what? Prophet, apostle, man of God. You ever heard that one called another title now? Bishop. I saw one bishop in Ghana. You know, people are very funny. And somebody say, heck, which kind of pastor is this one? I say, what do you mean, which kind of pastor? Can't you see he's not? I read the story, very funny. They said that on TV, somebody said, I lost my passport. They said, no problem. I will go to the realm of the spirit and help you find it. And he went to the realm of the spirit and did after some abracadabra. The guy did his aramanda and the pastor passport came out. And you are still calling him a pastor. He does not have a problem. You are the one that has a problem. He's a big pastor in Ghana. He was sleeping with the wife of one of his junior pastors for 2 years. At the end of 2 years, it was found out because the woman was pregnant for him. He said it was good it happened. Because God has used it to show to everybody that he's not an angel. Because they have been calling him angel. Yes. I said, good for you, Ghanaians. You will see more. As long as you are saying, he's a man of God. He prophesied something and it came to pass. More people like him will arise. That's what they told my wife when we went to Ghana. He said, he's a man of God. Prophesied something, came to pass. Oh God, that's a sign, Jesus. So it's not the arrow from the village or the arrow from the city. Tied in the village, wanted in the city. You've seen the poster. Auntie, wait till I do you. Are you getting my point here? All those kind of things. The one that said that, I will say to Herod, I am not John the Baptist. I like that sneeze. Very well timed.
The Lord is good. All of these are the signs of people who are not wearing their helmet of salvation. Because they interpret everything as if anytime I have a problem, it's because somebody from the village is harassing my soul. No matter the trouble that we have, we stand our ground. Paul said it there, stand firm. I told you this before. A friend of mine, the son died, and somebody came and said, I found a witch that killed your son. And she burst out in laughter. A grieving mother burst out in laughter. And I said to the person, Madam, come and start going home. No witch can kill my son. So it's a matter between me and my God. We'll settle ourselves. But you come and start going. That is called the helmet of salvation. You use the helmet of salvation to block all rubbish suggestions from your mind. You stand your ground. They come and say, listen, we need to go back to the village to go and uproot something that was buried when you were born. Which is the reason why you are having problems today. Stand your ground. That if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old buried things have passed away. Whatever it is you buried there has passed away. Stand your ground. One thing Christians do a lot of times is that they say, just in case. You don't realize that spiritually, there is nothing like just in faith, in case. It's called unbelief. It is called unbelief. There is nothing like just in case. I've seen people, they say one woman left, went to, she in her dream, she went to hellfire. She found women with earrings in hellfire. You know, God has a way of punishing people. Let me say, when they say, come and hear instruction, you don't come to hear. Are you getting my point? It is called serving the Lord thy God willingly. When you refuse to come and learn, what will happen is that you will not serve your enemies forcefully. That's what God does to people. So they were all over town that time, removing earrings, removing jewelry. All, oh God, those who sold those things suffered. Hairdressing salons felt it. There was recession even before recession. Now listen to me. Every woman that participated in that, by that action, was closer to hellfire than before. That's not supposed to be a joke. That's literal. I am not saying they went to hellfire, but they became closer than before. Why? Because all of them said, just in case. They were walking in sheer unbelief. No faith from their hearts. They couldn't beat their chest to say, this is what the word of God says. All they could do is to say, one woman slept. And we know those sleeping women. Listen, human beings are very wicked though. Let me just tell you. People will just wake up and deceive you just to make a name for themselves. You'll be going from one church to the other, misinterpreting visions. Who has not slept before and dreamt bad dream? Almost everybody here dreamt one bad dream at a time. Don't come and give me interpretation of your bad dream. It now becomes a prophetic word. Many people will say, let's just in case, is what I'm addressing. You have been sick for a while. You've been hearing the word of truth. Then somebody comes and says, let's just in case, you know? Because of just in case, let us go to the village and organize deliverance. Now, listen to what I want to say, not a joke. Most of those deliverance preachers and deliverance effectors, which word now? Performers, those boys and girls that follow them to the village to go and do deliverance are not Christians. They are not believers. Many of the people you see these days are nothing but glorified babalawos. They are the ones in the village, in the shrine, that know nothing. All of them bought suits. Oshofa of Celestial Church of Christ had 34 wives. I am not lying. You can go to Google and check. It's on Wikipedia. I used to lie before. I made a mistake. I used to say 35. It's a mistake. I'm sorry. There are 34. How can I be abusing the man say he has 35 wives when he had only 34? Thirty-four wives. I didn't say 3.4. I said 34. I And people were following and going to the church. I said, he's a man of God. Let me take a second wife tomorrow. Whether I will see any one of you here. So Pastor Onana last Saturday, what happened? Oh, he went to pay bride price. Now, instantly you look at my wife. You know the way your head will first zoom on her side. Say, madam, what happened? They marry you on credit. They don't come to say, shh, 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 not her, not her. Who? Tell you, there's one Egyptian girl. He knows that I do Moses. He said, marry, there's one Cushite woman, pastor wants to marry. He said, no, yeah, okay, with you, are you joking? He said, so we say, in fact, I'm the officiating minister. By the next Bible study, even my wife, who was my number one disciple before the marriage, won't come again. I say, praise the Lord. Israel will call you, say, I'm not feeling well. That is, he won't see anybody again. Yet, a man took 34. Apostle Mude Mude, 34 wives. People were still following him. And they're asking me what my problem is by saying one man is a fake pastor. I've seen them before. The Lord is good. Why am I saying all of these things? So it is those boys who've left, you know, this is their traditional thing, that started going around wearing suits and telling you they are doing deliverance for you. When the Bible says clearly that you, because of your faith, you have passed out of death and you have passed into life. It says you have been transferred from the dominion of darkness and you are now in the kingdom of his dear son. And that you have redemption in his blood, forgiveness of sins. And somebody will come to you and say that no, there's this small sin buried in the village. And you go, you have yielded ground needlessly. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't get better for you like that. You have failed. You don't realize it. That is what is called failure of faith. The Bible says, stand your ground. That's what I'm trying to emphasize today. It says, stand your ground. If the word of God says something about you, stand your ground. Don't forget what I said before. For the Red Sea to part, it took Moses a whole night. For them to conquer Ai when they went to battle, Amalek, sorry. For Moses kept the rod of God up for such a long time, his hands became tired. So they had to have him sit down while two other men helped him keep his hands up. That tells us simply, it takes a while for that victory to be manifested. But keeping the hand up means we are standing our ground. We will not say, listen, we have kept this hand up for 2 minutes now. The Amalek is still there fighting. Why all the Amalekites not dead? You say it means the rod is not working. Aaron, cut a fatter tree for me. And do you still have your calf making skills? Make me a calf and let's offer a sacrifice to it. Maybe it will work. I said to you before, I made up my mind. Whatever God's word says, I will believe it, even if I don't experience it. It's a determination. You know, I've thought about my life plenty. And I made up my mind that I have made up my mind. Yeah, I just made up my mind that I made up my mind. That wherever this path I have chosen in life leads, let's get there. If we die in the process, please remember that I also made the request that you should write on my tombstone, here lies a man who died believing God. Yeah, that's it. Just write on it. Here lies a man who died refusing to yield an inch, refusing to accept that the word of God is not true. Here lies a man who said, despite every evidence you guys have given me, I stand my ground. If God says I'm a winner, I am a winner. If God says I've been redeemed, I have been redeemed. Don't persuade me. Don't try to persuade me I have not been redeemed. If God says I've been redeemed, I have been redeemed. No matter how much you think I look like I'm in bondage, I refuse to accept it. I'm standing my ground. No matter the story you want to paint, and listen, let me say it again. Everything you see outside in life has just one purpose, to make you shift. That's why I told the story I told at the beginning. They do publications. I was telling you about ozone, climate change. It has been shown again and again. You've heard of, what do you call it? Ice Age. Yes. Look, these scientists don't want to accept, okay, what happened? That the Ice Age became warm. There was, human beings were not burning all these things they are doing that time. Incidentally, it was on CNN I found out that the man Eric the Red, who discovered Greenland, called it Greenland because Greenland was green. He had a lot of vegetation. Now, Greenland is frozen over. What does that tell you? It was warmer then, centuries ago, than it is today. And evidence abounds that shows the kind of fruits that used to grow in Europe. Many of them were tropical fruits. Then the earth froze over. People don't know why it froze over. That is why a lot of scientists say, listen, including a NASA scientist, said this is a cycle. It's a cycle. And it's in the scriptures like that. It's called cold and heat shall not cease. Are you getting my point here? But the people want to, they want to make it look like scientists are God. They are not God. When they make final statements concerning my life, your life, we refuse to accept it. Somebody, daddy was writing that Statistica has been shown that human life is incapable of being more than 115 years in duration. I'm happy other scientists told the guy, be careful yourself. They said, they warned him seriously. Say, what are you saying? He says, following some statistical, some evidence. When the Bible tells us that Moses was 120 years old, his eyes were not dim, his strength did not abate. When Pharaoh saw Caleb, Jacob, his mouth opened, says, sir, how old are you? At that time, that guy was 140-something. And he told us, my years, nothing like that of my ancestors. That tells that people living short life was normal in Egypt. It was blessed people that lived long lives. The whole world being under the power of the evil one. Everybody, if you live to be 100 now, they say, Papa, don't try. Why you no go try? One only friend died at 70. 30 years, all his classmates don't go. Only he remain. He try. But the Bible says in the kingdom of God, we say a young man just died. If he died at the age of 100. Scientists will not tell me what life is supposed to be. I will not yield my ground. He said here, stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Know what God has said. I'm jumping now again to verse 17. He said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And I say, I'm praying on my behalf. Now, this is where I'm going. What was Paul saying here? With everything I have told you, you should know the direction to aim your prayer. You stand your ground in prayer. When you want to pray, you stand your ground. Are you getting my point here? Let me get practical. What I mean is this. Let me put it like this. The first place where it is manifested, whether you have shifted ground, is in what you say. Do you hear what I said? Yeah. The first place where it manifests, whether you have shifted your ground or you haven't, is in what you say. And we keep on saying this because it's very powerful. You know, I just came back from Warrior. I was not around on Saturday. And the program was a prayer school of prayer. All right? I was teaching on prayer. Explain to people again, if that prayer was not crucial, Jesus would not have said, men ought always to pray and not get tired. Paul said, be devoted to prayer. He said, pray without ceasing. What does that tell us? Every time we open our mouth to talk, when we open our mouth to talk, we are offering prayers. He said, those that feared the Lord, they spoke often one to another and the Lord heard. So when we are talking about praying without ceasing, praying all the time, what that simply means is that anytime you open your mouth as a believer,
know that you are releasing words into the realm of the spirit. That's the point I'm trying to make.
They talk about economic recession. Better watch how you are responding to it.
People say it's time to move and run up and down. If you agree with them, the Bible, you know what God said?
God said, because you said we will flee.
He said, because we will flee on horses. He said, for that reason, those who are pursuing you will be swift.
I don't know whether you're getting the point.
You know what that means? Because he said, we will run down to a neighboring African country, away from recession. He said, it means that the recession will reach that place. If you take off from there and disappear, say, I'm going to Europe. He said, Europe will start feeling it. So what should I do? He said, in returning and in rest, you will be saved.
So when people say it is recession time, he said, not for me. For me, it is not recession time.
That is all. Just refuse to shift your ground. That's what I'm trying to explain. If you have discovered, because how do you discover?
It's by hearing the word of God. There's no other way.
Look, information that you build your life on is that which is released to you from God's word. That's all. Why people like me exist, why those of us who are called to be preachers exist, is to pass God's information down to people. That's it. That's why we exist. You hear me quote, this person said this, and they are reading from the word of God, scripture. That's what I build my life upon. I told you then, after my youth service, when I came to Lagos, and I got exposed to the ministry of Bishop Oyedepo. When we'll sit down and listen to him, the man would teach 2 hours at a go. I did most of my listening on tapes. It is the reason why I'm in Enugu today. When I finished my postgraduate, people said that, are you not going to go abroad and look for money? I said, eh? If God finds me doing some things, he'll put me out of ministry. Say, a two banky? And you too, banky? You are joining them. There are things that God must not find me do because I hear one place is greener. Because I will have rejected the scripture which says, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. Once I start running towards it, I hope you get my point here. That's what I mean. So that was why it was easy for me. I just told everybody, say, listen, I don't know where we're going in next, but wherever I go, that is where ministry is taking off from. I don't know how I knew it, I just knew it. So when the door opened, and through many manifestations, the Lord said, yeah, you are going to Enugu. I packed easily. People were like, you are living where the money is. And I said, well, you people are very funny. This same Lagos, I saw people sleeping under a bridge. This same Lagos, I saw respectable men with fine cars park and use style to beg for money. I said, listen, forget, there's no money anywhere. It is where God puts you, that is where he will bless you. I said, I have found where the Lord is sending me to, let me go there. And when I get there, I know blessing is waiting for me there. Now, what am I saying? We build our lives. That's what we Christians are supposed to do. Constantly building our lives on God's word. And once you have discovered a word like that, what Satan wants you to do is let it go. That's what he wants. He wants you to let it go. He will tell you that, have you noticed that anytime you are about to break through in life, something will normally set you back? He said, hey. So what does he mean? There is a curse of near success syndrome. There can be cause of anything. So what am I supposed to do? We'll now go for deliverance. He says, sir, deliverance is for those who are bound. I am not bound. And thank you for pointing out to me that sometimes I'm close to success and I don't get into it. Because now I'll go and find out why. And one of the reasons will not include a curse from the past. No, not one reason will be like that. I'm certain. You say, well, how come? Maybe the level of breakthrough I'm supposed to walk into, I have not been built up enough to be able to carry it. So I take a step backwards and go and build myself and say, God, what do people do who are in this level? God will say, now you're talking. Sit down. You now see a book here, a book there, a conference here, a conference there. You settle down and God now shows you, say, you know, I realize that you have been waiting all your life for when you make this amount of money so you can start flying joblessly around the world. And that was why I withheld it. Say, Lord, what will I do? Say, the money will come.
I want you to first focus on increasing the number of people you can employ. Expand your capacity. You know, I was at the press today. I was with the man who was working on our books. So somebody, his wife came and asked a question. He was angry about something. His wife came, pointed out something to him. He said, look, don't mind these boys. And I said, maybe I should close this business down. Don't worry, I don't believe him anyway, but said, maybe I should close it down. And at that point in time on the screen, we were looking at our book, How to Work for God. And on that screen, the heading was something like, increase is a divine assignment. So I said, sir, look at the screen. He said, what? He thought I saw a mistake. I said, look at it. He looked at it, what? I said, increase is a divine assignment. He started laughing. I said, your job here, your business here, it must expand as a divine assignment. It must be a divine assignment. You must understand it like that. So God said, that's why I have not allowed you to enter. Because you thought, when I read that level, it's divine enjoyment. So God said, no. Listen to this. He said, I have left you there because you have not bothered to ask. Now that you have bothered to ask, understanding has come to you. Let me say this to you. There is nobody that has been running around looking for deliverance that ever found it. If you have one, come and show me. Somebody will tell me that all my problems went away after deliverance. Normally, it's a lie. When that one was finished, after 1 year, you realize that you find that the thing didn't have any effect. It takes a whole year. You now go to the people and say, you need another level of deliverance. So now prescribe the next level for you. You'll be roaming around in looking for deliverance up and down. And God is looking at you and saying, my people perish for lack of knowledge. This is my son, this is my daughter should have understood that she has already been delivered. He has already been delivered. So why do you have problems? Well, come on, sit down. It's a good question. Let's answer it. He said, because listen, one of the things about God's blessings is that they are heavy. Many people can't carry them. When the blessing comes small, they will collapse under the weight. And there are different ways Christians collapse under weight too. Let me explain one to you. You increase a man, suddenly he gets 5 million. I've never seen 5 million before. The next day, you now call his pastor. Say, pastor, I have an offering for the church. Can you send somebody to collect it? God will say, this boy never gets sense. And God will send somebody, a thief, to come and collect it. Say, what happened? He said, you were feeling too important. You want to give an offering. Somebody will come and collect it. You come and collect it. You know you are not planning to go far in life. But if Dangote says, I have a check for the ministry, can you come to my office? I will tell him straight on the phone, sir, if I come, the Lord will put me out of ministry. I'm not joking. Don't think this guy just make him out. I will tell you straight, sir, if I come, the Lord will sack me. He will sack me. If you ever ask, if he says, please, I need prayer, man of God, help me. Now you are talking. Are you getting my point? Now you are talking. Say, any sick amongst you, let him call upon the elders of the church. It's scriptural. So an alcoholic came to you, an elder, come. Let's go and pray for that poor guy. You are rich materially. It doesn't mean you are rich spiritually. There are things that Christians do. God will just say, this boy. He's out of ministry. I'm kicking him out. Sack him. Okay. They say, Lord, don't sack him. Say, let's put him on suspension. Next 6 months, no anointing. When he opens his mouth, he preach for 1 minute, he'll be sick for 1 week. Listen, preaching, if God doesn't give you grace, every day you finish ministry like this, now sickness. The Lord is good. There are things that Christians do. God said, this guy is not ready for the next level. That is the reason why you have not entered the next level. It's not because they have a devil that's against you. I hope you're getting my point. No devil, let me say it again. No devil has the power to say a Christian cannot move to the next level. That devil has not been manufactured. I'm not talking about witches. I'm talking about who? Devil. So how much more the small apprentices who are learning evil things that he has? Please, I hope you are following my point. I'm very, very serious this evening. Not joking. We are not yielding our ground for anybody. Experiences in life will not make us change what God has revealed to us. I told you, the one story, very perfect. Kenneth Hagin said, The Lord appeared to him in a vision and told him, when you tell the spirit, you put your hand like this, if you have this feeling, there's an evil spirit there making the person sick. Now you will cast the spirit out in my name and it will go. This man had an experience. He put his hand, a fire jumped from one hand to the other. He said, oh, that's what God said is a sign that there's an evil spirit there. So he told the spirit in the name of Jesus, out. Told the man, oh yeah, Ben, let's see whether you can touch your toes. The man had a stiff back. It wasn't healed. He went over it again. Ah! So the man, you can go and sit down. Nothing happened. Suddenly he had a vision. The Lord appeared to him again and said, I said it will go. And he made one mistake you must never make. He told the Lord, but it did not go. The Lord said, he said to him again, I said it will go. In confusion, he said, but it didn't go. He said a third time, this time around, it was as if fire was leaping out of his eyes. He had never seen him angry like that. He had several visions before. He said, I said it will go. And that was the end of the vision. The Lord didn't give him any explanation. Confusion for his soul. Listen, you don't know how our Lord reasons. He said that if I say something, heaven and earth will pass away before that thing is proven not to be true. The reason why it appears like it's not true is that you guys don't hang on it like I said it is true. He said confusion came upon him. He couldn't think straight again. I can imagine when the Holy Spirit now came and tapped him. He's not a helper. I was sending you a helper. The helper came and said, he said it will go. It went. Stop arguing with him on that it did not go. You are proving his word by experience that is not true. Then suddenly he got it. He called the man. Said, come back. He went through the process again. This time he said, instead of checking whether it went, he said, tell the man, now you have been healed. I command you, bend down and touch your toes. You have been healed. The spirit is gone. And the man bent down. Instantly, the back that was stiff became soft. You are getting my point. Listen, the problem with faith, even Jesus said it, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? That if I find faith, they will see that I didn't die. I'm alive. Are you getting my point? I mean, I rose up from the dead. I am alive forever. I'm watching over my word to perform it. The problem is that they've been yielding ground. A little experience tells them they are not healed. Listen, make up your mind. That if I'm going to die, let me die. Beg your friends to help you write on your tombstone. When I'm dead, write it on it. Here lies a man or the woman who died believing God. Let's rise to our feet. Let us pray. Listen, we are not yielding any ground. What did I say?
We are not
turn to the Lord and tell him that. Say, Lord, I'm not yielding any ground. Whatever you have said is true. It's true in my life. I believe it. You said I have been forgiven, I believe it. You said you are having mercy on me, I believe it. You said I have passed out of life. I have passed out of death, I have passed into life. I believe it. Say it to him, I believe it, I believe it. He said, you said I am not coming into judgment because of faith. I believe it. I believe it. Oh, I lost something, Heso. I believe that the path of the just is like the light of dawn is shining brighter and brighter. I believe my path is shining brighter and brighter. They said there is recession. That's their problem. I believe that I'm like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. I yield my fruit in my own season. I believe. Oh, I've been having this headache for the last 1 week. This stomach pain, this back pain, this is kidney problem, radiating down to my legs. Sometimes I can't walk, and they say it's kidney problem. Ha! That's the experience of the flesh. Lord, I believe that Himself took my infirmities and my diseases, and by His stripes I have been healed. I believe it. I am not changing my mind. I believe it. I am not changing my mind. I believe it. I believe that I have been forgiven. He said he's able to save to the uttermost those that draw near to God by him. I don't believe what they said that, if you did your sins before, the effect will stay with you today. They say, Lord, no, that's not in keeping redemption. I believe that you have forgiven me totally. Every consequence of sin is wiped away. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is what is speaking for me. The blood of Jesus is able to clean to the uttermost. I believe. People have sat down and they have shown me predictions about the economy. As if to say, the future is bleak for me, for my children. Say, Lord, no. My future is in your hands. Why should I reckon with man whose breath is in his nostrils? Lord, I believe. It is written, the Lord delights in the prosperity of his servant. I believe that. He said, the young lions may suffer hunger, they may lack. But those that seek the Lord will not lack anything good. Lord, I hold on to your word. I seek you with all my heart. I believe I will not lack anything good. My future is determined by the word of God. I believe. And I refuse to yield any ground. Declare, Lord, I will not run up and down looking for prosperity. I believe that you, Lord, will cause prosperity to flow towards me like a river. And the wealth of the nations will flow towards me like an overflowing stream. Say, Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe I've been healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Tell that pain, you are the one that has a problem I don't have. I believe I've been healed. Say to that pain, say to that discomfort, I will not eat of your fruit again. And I say to you that it will die from the root. The Lord Jesus looked at a tree and said, no one henceforth will eat of your fruit. Say to that pain in every part of your body, I will not eat of your fruit again. What is the fruit of pain? You can't sleep. Money, you are buying drugs, expensive ones, they are using you as an experiment. Say, not anymore. I believe. So I refuse to change my mind. Lord, I'm not talking about my experience. I'm telling you about what I believe. I'm standing my ground. I'm standing firm. I'm rejecting every negative word. I'm rejecting it. I believe that I'm not beneath. I'm not inferior to anybody. I can prosper anywhere. I believe. I believe. I believe. I don't have to run to Lagos to make it. I don't have to run to Abuja or Port Harcourt or abroad. No, I know. I know one thing for sure. He will cause prosperity to flow towards me. He said, in returning and in rest, you will be saved. Say, Lord, I believe. I return. Everything that I don't understand, every way I'm walking wrongly, Lord, correct me. Teach me. That which I see not, teach thou me. But I will not yield an inch of ground concerning your word, that which you have revealed. I hold on to it. You will work your miracle in my life. I and the children, that was the Lord Jesus speaking of, that the Lord has given me. We are for signs and for wonders. You cannot be a sign, you cannot be a wonder, except there is something to do wonder concerning. So don't worry about your trouble. That is the place where God is going to get glory. Say, I am a sign and I'm a wonder. I am a sign and a wonder. God's wonder is being done in my life, and I'm giving him the glory. And by it, I'm demonstrating that Jesus indeed rose from the dead. And is alive forevermore. I believe. I do not yield an inch of ground, I believe. I stand firm. I'm standing on the word of God. Declare it, I'm standing on the word of God. Everybody declare after me, say, in the name of Jesus, I stand on God's word.
I
am not moved by what I see.
I am not moved by what my eyes see.
I am not moved by what my ears hear naturally. Say, I am moved by the word of God. Say, I stand on the word of God.
I stand on his promises.
I hold on to them by faith. Say, I will not let them go until they bless me. Until they manifest his blessing. Say, the word of God will not depart from me. Say, if he says I'm healed, then I hold on to that. Say, himself took my infirmities.
He took my
diseases.
By his stripes,
I have been healed. Say,
by his stripes,
I have been healed.
He
said, he is the Lord, my
doctor.
That's the meaning of Jehovah Rapha. But I have a new mindset. I speak English. That's my language. Or this is Hebrew speaking for people that can't identify Jerusalem on a map. I have left that thing. I speak what my children can understand. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
So declare, say, he is the Lord,
my healer.
He is the Lord,
my surgeon.
He is the Lord,
my ophthalmologist.
He is the Lord,
my gynecologist.
He is the Lord,
my surgeon,
my physician,
my healer.
He is the Lord,
my defender.
I believe him.
No matter how
what I feel.
I know.
Now, do you know the difference? I feel and I know.
Say,
I know.
I am healed.
And I speak accordingly.
Bible
calls him the high priest of our confession. It's so important. It's what, like I said, the first place where we know you have yielded ground is by what we say. You can feel anything, you know. But you can't say anything. Are you getting my point? You can wake up in the morning and you are feeling bad. That's what feeling be. But please, don't say anything negative. I mean, compared to God's word. How are you feeling? My brother, life is working in me. It's working double dose. Why double dose? I need a double dose this morning. But life is what? It's working. I found that, listen, reading the scripture. In fact, look. When Peter sank in water, Jesus said what? Why did you doubt? When they were afraid, he said, where is your faith? It don't mean that it means therefore that everything that goes wrong is what? Lack of faith. I wanted to teach it again, but I forgot. But thank God, I think we said what the Lord wanted us to say. Was it here I was saying last time? We have to eat too. We must eat too. We must eat. When I was in worry, I woke up one morning and the Holy Spirit was helping me. Please don't miss it when we start the School of Bible Exegesis on Ecclesiastes. I probably will start next year with it, or I don't have time this year. I'm excited ahead. Apostle, I'm excited. When we finish with Ecclesiastes, you won't worry again.
Amen.
Honestly. You will see Solomon he explained three critical phases that people pass through in worry. So with all of their worries, what God wanted to do. Listen, let nobody tell you that Mark Zuckerberg is your age mate, is younger than you, and at this age has become a billionaire. I want to tell you, Mark Zuckerberg did not make billions. It is God that just said, come, this boy, come and sit here. He's doing a job. And I don't want to talk about that now, by the way. So that morning I woke up, I was reading Ecclesiastes. The after I was a bank, you have not eaten, no. My wife asked me, what's the difference between Bible study, when you study your scriptures, listen to messages? I said, no, that's not food. You are cooking. I don't know what I get my point. You are cooking the food. You can finish cooking and you rush out of the house. You walk for 1 hour. Say, madam, why are you looking so tired? Didn't you cook this morning? Say, I cooked too. I don't know why I'm tired. Would that make sense?
Yes.
They will say, you cooked. Did you eat the food? No, now I was in a hurry. Many times we are studying the Bible. You know the truth? We are cooking. So that day I got up, I said, no, this one I'm cooking. Make a chop. So I started from Psalm 23. Then after I was here, Pastor Banky, why are you chopping Psalm 23? It's not be minister, you won't go minister this morning. I said, Nazo, chop something that help ministration. I went to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I said, my sufficiencies of God, who has made me sufficient as a minister of the New Testament. I have adequacy from God. He has made me capable. That's called eating. So now when you hit the pulpit, you have strength to deliver. Are you getting my point? Children of God, we need to eat. We need to eat. If we don't eat, faith is weak. When faith is weak, every little sickness, we join. Every little recession, it will recede. It's never a failure from the environment. This in water has all, people have always gone down on water. But when Peter went down, what did Jesus say? Why did you doubt? Let's eat some food, then we'll close. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm above alone.
I am not beneath.
I'm above alone.
I am not beneath.
No matter what is going on outside, I am not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear.
I am moved by the word of God.
This is the word of God concerning me. I know the grace of the Lord Jesus.
He was rich,
yet for my sake he became poor.
Now,
I, because of his poverty,
I have been made rich.
Therefore, I am above.
Therefore, there's no recession with me.
Therefore, I am amply supplied.
I have all I need
because my God
makes grace available for me.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, my treasure is stored in heaven.
My blessing is stored in heaven.
I yield my fruit in my season.
I yield my fruit in my season.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, it is well with me
from the top of my head
to the soles of my feet.
It is well with me
from the top of my head
to the soles of my feet.
I just want to add this. Say, old age is not a disease.
I know many of you say I'm young, but you know you are not the only one that's been ministered to here.
And listen, eat it now. You hear what I said?
Yes.
Yeah, eat it when?
Now.
Say it, old age is not a disease.
Old age is not a disease.
Age is allowed to do only one thing for me.
Age is allowed to do only one thing.
That is make me wise.
That is make me wise.
And that's the word of God.
Amen.
That's the word of God. Say amen. That's the word of God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, it is well with me.
Amen.
Hey, repeat that after me. Say, it is well with me.
It is well with me.
Inside me, it is well.
On
my skin, it is well.
In my brain, it is well.
In my mind, it is well.
It is well with me through and through.
Because Jesus died for me.
Now,
it's important we understand that. It's not because you have jogged or you have eaten well or your genes are naturally good. It is because Jesus died.
Let's go. But otherwise, I just remember one scripture. I wanted to quote it, but I didn't remember. Well, I didn't go that way actually at all.
When he said that man shall not live by bread alone, I found a new interpretation for it as I was going to worry. Holy Spirit did inside moto. You know what the Lord was saying to us, Christians? I just saw that one, a new light. He said, no matter what you are eating outside, your own life is not coming from me too. I don't know whether I got that.
Yeah.
No matter the certificate you have, no matter the job you have, don't even for a moment think that's where life is coming from. You are not living by that bread. Are you getting my point? So as you are eating so-called balanced diet, don't put your mind on it. As you are eating good food, it tastes nice. You thank God. Say, Father, I thank you because you supply every nutrient to my body. You know, I heard Ken Hagin say long ago. They said this food is bad. It doesn't care. Say, I give thanks for it. I put every nutrient required in by faith, and I remove every poison by faith. And they have had manifestations of land that people, EPA, Environmental Protection Agency in America, said was toxic. They prayed over the land. Somebody in a vision saw a black spirit leave that land. They tested the land again. Chemicals were gone. We don't live by bread alone. When we are eating bread, we realize that it's every word that proceeds that's keeping us alive. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Declare, you can say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm sustained by the Spirit of God.
I'm sustained by the Spirit of
am sustained by the word of God.
Say,
the Spirit of Christ is in me.
Is
giving life to my mortal body. The Spirit of Christ is in me.
Is
killing every negative gene.
Every negative trait.
Every disorder inside
is
killed by that spirit. The spirit of life is working in me. Say, in my head,
life is working.
In my neck,
life is working.
Down to my feet,
life is working.
In every part of me,
life is working.
In my blood,
life is working.
Declare, say, in my eyes,
life is working.
In my liver,
life is working.
In my kidneys,
life is working.
In my heart,
in my lungs,
in my intestines,
in my muscle,
in my bones,
every part of me,
life is working. The Spirit of Christ is working in you.
Amen.
I said the Spirit of Christ is working in you.
Amen.
It's stopping every bullet fired in your direction.
Amen.
And listen, I mean physical bullet. If they aim at you, this is the word of God. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper.
Amen.
Listen, a bomb, if you lie, sit on it, it can't go off.
Amen.
If it goes off, then it's like the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even your clothes will not tear.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I declare that safety is your portion.
Amen.
As you go out from here, safety is your portion.
Amen.
As you enter your home, safety is your portion.
Amen.
As you are going on the road, it is well with you.
Amen.
Again, I say it, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
The angels of God, they will guard you.
Amen.
You will not dash your foot against a stone.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord thanks now. Just say, Father, we thank you. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. We have understood there are two categories of babalawos in this world. All right? There are fake babalawos who don't know much, and there are the real ones that know the word of God. So if you're a babalawo in the house, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, you see, as these babalawos have declared that they are, what it means, people who understand the mysteries of God. That's the meaning of the word. All right, that's literally, all right, people that understand the mysteries of God. And because we belong to the cult of Christ, remember our message, the fraternity of Christ. We belong to the cult of Christ. If you're a blood drinker here, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you eat flesh, give me amen.
Amen.
So you see, we eat flesh, we drink blood. That is why we are not intimidated by anybody. No matter what you eat, we have eaten, should we use the word worst things? Which word do we use? Okay, we have used more, we have eaten stronger things. Things that speak better than the blood of rubbish people. Are you getting my point? this one speaks, I mean, we've drank serious blood. Not all this infected HIV, all kind of rubbish blood people are drinking outside. You go and drink the blood of bulls and goats that cannot even take away sin. We have drank serious blood, amen?
Amen.
That's the blood of Jesus. Said, this is my blood of the new covenant. We have drank it. It's inside us. It's working in us. That's why we declare the incantations of the Spirit. When we release God's word, that look, let's understand this thing. So, Babala won't do incantation tomorrow. Don't be intimidated. When you say, hey, relax. Say, how many sins do you make? 10. Let me make one. You see the difference. It is well with my soul. The guy said, what did you say? That's the word of God. All the ones you have said against me can't do anything. I've nullified it with one word. It is well with my soul. Say, what do you have for me? Kiss the son, lest he be angry, or you perish out of the way. These are serious babalawos talking. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So let's declare the incantations of God as we close today, as we share the grace. 1, 2, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.
This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication. Amen.
Bless somebody on your left or your right.
Jesus, your spirit.